Now I want you to think about taking on this particular challenge, running from Alaska all the way to Panama. Then you're probably thinking, no, not my cup of tea. Well, José Cortés actually decided at the age of 64 that that was exactly what he wanted to do, right after retiring from years of working in the farm workers' rights movement. In fact, in the 1960s and 70s, José Cortés worked as César Chávez's personal bodyguard, a role that for him took on a very personal component. In Phoenix, Arizona, José shares with us now his life story and how he's preparing for the run of his life.
We're at Paestoa Peak, which is one of the hiking parks here in Phoenix. You see the barrel cactus, you'll see the chuckawallas, you'll see the saguaro cactus. I personally like to come here because it allows me to get a good workout and enjoy the spirituality of life. When I first met César Chávez, I was expecting to see this big, tall guy, muscular and outspoken. And when I first saw him, he was this little guy, probably about 5'2", 5'4", and wasn't very big, and he wasn't very loud, but he had a love for his people. And it made me think of the love that I had for my parents working in the fields. I saw how they were treated by the owners of the fields, how they treated them, how they belittled them. And it really, sometimes I have, you know, a problem talking about it because it just brings tears to my eye. That was the main thing that drew me towards the farm worker movement.
Brothers and sisters.
Back then, those of us that were organizers were with César Chávez, they would call us Chavistas because we followed Chávez.
Viva Chávez!
Viva la Huelga! And those of us that could be trusted became his bodyguards. You know, César was the kind of person that didn't go out and hire bodyguards to watch him. His bodyguards were his people, those that were trusted and respected. To be a bodyguard, I think the most important thing is not how pretty you look or how strong you are or how fast you can run, but how dedicated you are to protecting what you believe in. We didn't want anything to happen to him. Here is a person that you love, you respect, and who has a lot of charisma, and you know that this is what makes your movement. He has the charisma to move the people. If he's gone, what's going to happen? I know that I'm not as young as I used to be, so I have to pick and choose my battles now. I guess I'm on the last passage of my life.
You're the one who's going to do the six-month travel in the United States? So you're famous.
Yeah.
You're famous.
Yeah. When I retired 5 years ago, I went on a path to heal myself physically and spiritually. And I'm training for a spiritual run from Alaska to Panama. I have been training for the Peace and Dignity Run almost 4 years now, ever since my friend and mentor, Gustavo Gutierrez, was killed in an accident doing this run, which is what he loved. I was with him when he was killed. So I made up my mind that I would do this run and run the complete distance in his honor. He was the first United Farm Workers president in the state of Arizona. He was an unsung hero who fought for social justice. He fought for the farm worker movement. Later, Gustavo was also instrumental in founding Chicanos por la Causa, where I worked for a while. I had the opportunity there to create radio programs and TV programs to help the community. Gustavo, he was instrumental in getting me out of the fields and into the farm worker movement. being here today, it's not just a mountain. For me, it's a place of worship, a place where I connect with the greater force. This is one of the things that Cesar Chavez was trying to do while he was alive. He's trying to incorporate that spirituality, and I saw Gustavo doing the same thing. So at my age, I'm beginning to feel that. What these men knew, now I know, and I want to continue that, and I've tried to emulate what these men represented. I think this is the driving force that pushes me to run.
José Cortés began his journey in Alaska in April of this year, and as of August 9th, he's resting for a few days in El Paso, Texas, before crossing into Mexico. Maggie Freeling originally reported this story for the NPR Next Gen Radio Fellowship at KJZZ.